Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf. We are holding on Daf Kuf Yotes and Beis. We are 8 lines from the end of the page at Ve'i Bayis Amen. As those words would suggest, we are right in middle of a conversation over here. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, called the Basimcha Allah Shalom, the Nisham Shev and Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Jeremy and Adina Herskowitz in honor of Jeremy's grandfather's yard site, Marvin Herskowitz, Moshe Yehuda Ben Yosef, Alav HaShalom, his neshama shev and aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the discussion we're in the middle of having is about whether Seyar has a din of yad, to be machlis the tumah and motzi the tumah. Can a strand of hair or strands of hair have a din of yad? So the Gemara is going to continue that discussion and deal with stiras about whether it does or does not, and perhaps distinguish between a single strand of hair versus a bunch of hair. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the difference between what counts as food with regard to Yom HaKippurim and what counts as food with regard to Tumas Ochlin, and why there would be a difference between the Gedarim of those two halachos. The Gemara is then going to have a machlokas on the definition of the word kippah that appeared in the Mishnah, that we said that the HaKippah is mitztaref with the basar for the shear of Tumas Ochlin. So two opinions: what exactly is kippah? Then the Gemara is going to have a variety, the majority of the daf is going to be about a whole bunch of different cases where there's a matter of achila, whether it be an isur achila, a mitzvah achila, mostly isure achila, that include a liquefied version of the item. That even though the isur is to be ochel, nevertheless, even if it's liquefied, that somehow is considered to be an ochel and not a mashke, and why it is that that would be the case, and each one needs its own limud, and why each one needs its own limud, why we can't just learn from one place to the next, and that's going to be the majority of the daf, is making those drushos, and that's going to lead us to a brief discussion at the very end of the daf about methodologically whether we say don mina umina or don mina v'uki ba'asra, that when you learn A from B, do you take all of the dinim of B and apply it to A, or do we say no, we learn the basic concept of B to A, but then the details have to fit within the parsha of A and not from the, it doesn't all come lock, stock, and barrel from the source of the limud. And we're going to relate it to machlokas about juices of truma fruit, not zeisim v'anavim, that's one thing, but other fruit juices of truma fruit, that there's a machlokas relating to that, and we're going to relate that to don mina umina, or don mina v'oki ba'asra. So let's begin again, 8 lines from the end of the page, on daf kuf yutesam beis, v'i ba'yisema, first words on the line. And we're dealing with Akasha on Reish Lakish about whether Seyar has a din of Yad. So that it could be, we could be Miyashiv the Mishnah, according to Reish Lakish, that the entire Mishnah that talks about the Tziv and the Sa'ara being Metame, that which touches them, that it's all about Yad. It's Akasha Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish said that Seyar does not have a din of Yad. No, Kadam Rabbi La. Rabbi La explains a Mishnah Mesachas Uktzin with the following Chilik, B'mili Shebein HaMelahim, that when you're dealing with the pieces on a stalk of grain, so when you have a whole bunch of them together, so that's different than having just one of them. So Hachanami over here as well, when it comes to Seyar, Benima Shebein HaNimin, that there's a difference between a single hair versus a bunch of hairs. A single hair cannot be used to lift the item. You pick up the hair and it will just fall right off. So it is not a yad. But if you have a bunch of hairs that are attached to the item and you pick them all up, so they're strong enough collectively to be able to move the item around, and therefore that will have a din of yad. Vehecha itmar, what are we, Rabbi Lai? Where does Rabbi Lai say this chilik that we are referring to? And we're going to refer to it several times in today's daf. So the Gemara answers, aha. It is said with regard to the following Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Uktzin. Malaisha b'shibolim. If you have the top part of the shibolas, of the stalk, mitam, or whatever you call it, the grain, mitamin, or the ear of corn, or whatever, mitamin, the shibolas is mekabel tuma through the Miloim, meaning if it was Tahar and Tame touched this part of it, it's able to transmit the Tumah to it. Umetamin, and not only that, if it was Tame, it could transmit the Tumah through this part of the stalk. But it's not Mitzaref to the Shir Kebetz of Tumas Ochlim, because it doesn't have a din of Shomer, it only has a din of Yad. And Yad, we know the difference between Shomer and Yad is that Yad is not Mitzaref to the Shir of Achila. So it says, but wait, Malay, Lamai Chazi, this part of the Shibolas, what does it, what's it Ro'i for? What is it used for? It's not Ro'i to move it around, to move the whole Shibolas around by just picking up these little strands. Some Rabbi Loi, B'Malay, Shaben HaMalay. No, if it's a bunch of them together, so then you can move it around, because it's while a single little piece will just pull right off. But if it's a whole bunch of them together and you lift it, so then it will be able to lift the entire Shibboleth. Lishna Achrina Amrila, some have a different version of the whole discussion with Reish Lakish, and that is that they asked on Reish Lakish from the Mishnah that said that if you touch the Seir that's connected to the Basar, then it's Tameh, and we answered that the Seir is Mitameh, not Midin Yad, but rather Midin Shomer. The Gemara gave that answer at the end of yesterday's daf. So what follows is that it's Midin Shomer, but Hachinami Mistavra, it's Mistavra, that it's Mistavra, that it's Midin Shomer, Dimishum Shomer, that the Seir is Mitameh Midin Shomer, and not Midin Yad, because it couldn't be Midin Yad. What does one strand of hair do for you as far as a Yad is concerned? It cannot be used to move anything. So the Gemara rejects the Raya that really the Mishnah is Mitame Midin Yad. Ah, you asked, what could one strand of hair do? Kedam Rabbi Loi, Bimalai Shabbat Amalai, that are like Rabbi Loi says, that there's a difference between one strand versus a whole collection of them. So Achanami, the same is true when it comes to hair, Benima Shabbat Animin, that there's a difference between one strand of hair versus a bunch of hair, a whole collection of hair. Veheichit Mad Rabbi Loi, so again, repeating, within this version of the discussion, where was Rabbi Loi's statement initially made? On that Mishnah Maseches Uktzin, Milai Shebishibalim, the Milai that's on the Shibboleth is Mitamin, is able to transmit Tuma to the Shibboleth, Umitamin, and is able to transmit Tuma from the Shibboleth to other things, but Vein Mitzarfim is not Mitzarif to the Shear of Tumas Ochlin of the Shibboleth itself. Well, the Milai Lamai Chazi, what's it Ratwi for? When you grab it, it's just going to snap. So how can it be considered a Yad? And on that, Vam Rabbi Loi, Bimalai Sheben Amalai, that's where Rabbi Loi said that there's a difference between one strand where it will snap when you pick it up versus a whole bunch where when you pick it up the whole thing will move. Okay, so now we had said that the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish on the was stated initially on a brisa in Maseches Ahalos. So now the Gemara is going to say a different version of where that machlokes originated. The Ika de Masnila, some have that this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Masnila actually initiated and originated with our Mishnah. That our Mishnah said that Ha'ar V'Harota V'Akipa, right? It's the name of the parak, it's Ha'ar V'Harota, it's our Mishnah, that the skin and the rota of the moisture and the sauce and the kipa of the Talmud, which will have machlokes, what kipa means exactly today, and the bones that have moach inside of them, that they're all mitzarfin, that they're all mitzarif with the basar, letame tumas ochlin, to the sheer kebetza for a Tumas Ochlin. The reason the bones are mitzayif with the basar is because the bones have a din of a shomer, meaning bones that have marrow inside of them have a din of a shomer, because it's shomer, the marrow that's inside. But Amrei Shlakish lo shanu ella etzem dahavi shomer. That this is only true about a bone, which actually has a din of a shomer. Aval nima lo have a shomer, but a strand of hair doesn't have the din of a shomer to the basar, and therefore it's not mitzayif to the basar to shear kebetza, because it's on top of the skin. The skin has the din of a shomer, so only the hair would be a shomer al gabe shomer. So hair cannot qualify as a shomer, since it's a second layer. Only the initial layer of skin has the din of a shomer. Rabbi Yochanan Rafil Nima Nami Havya a shomer, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says no, hair could also have a din of a shomer. So now in this version, Amar le Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish says Rabbi Yochanan, Umi Ika Shomer al gabi shomer. How could hair have a din of a shomer? It's a shomer al gabi shomer. And is there such a thing as a shomer al gabi shomer? After all, chalchuli mechalchel. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan answers, chalchuli mechalchel. No, it does have a din of a shomer because it's considered first level. It's not considered second level because each hair has a pore that it grows out of and it goes beneath skin level. It starts beneath the level of the skin, right? You see the commercials for the lift and cut shaver. So it has to lift it out from underneath the skin and then cut it out, if that's what it actually does. But the hair goes to beneath skin level. So it turns out that they themselves are a shomer to the basar. They don't need the it's not that they're just on top of the skin. So Maskar Ravacha asks, as we learned yesterday, wait. If every hair grows from beneath the skin level, elameata, if that's the case, when you have to write tefillin on a hide, which was once hairy, so you pulled out the hair, now you should have a hide that is full of holes, because the hairs grew out of all those holes. Tefillin echi kasvinan, habin ksivatama veleka. How could we ever write tefillin? You need a ksivatama, and you don't have a ksivatama. It's broken up by all of these holes. So answers Gemara, ishtamite hata amri b'marava, that Ravacha must have forgotten that which they taught in Eretz Yisrael, that kol nekev shadio over alav eino nekev, that any hole that's so tiny that you just write smoothly right over it and you don't even realize as you're writing that there are any holes over there, that doesn't have a din of a nekev in halacha. That eino chinami, the reality might be you put it under a microscope and you'll see that there's a nekev, you know that it's that the size of a hair is a nekev, but nevertheless it doesn't have a din of a nekev. There's a tshuva in the Shevet HaLevi where Rav Ozner discusses. He says it's fairly common that in Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos that the ink goes on. If you write, if you put down the parchment on the table and you start writing, that the ink will go through. That the ink will you'll pick up the parchment afterwards and you'll see the ink on the table afterwards, even though you don't see any nekev. You don't see any hole in the parchment. So he says that some argue that that's possible because there must be a hole, and it's based on Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Megillah that if the ink can fit through a hole, then it's possible. So you have to make sure that the ink doesn't drip through the holes. So they understand that that's a chumrah, that if the diyo goes through the nekev, then it's going to be then it's going to be problematic. However, Rav Ozner writes in Shevet HaLevi that tzarichin, if we should be machmir for that, because pashtos, if the diyo goes through, it's only if you're able to see the nekev that it's a problem. Because of our Gemara, that as long as the writing seems smooth and you're not able to see any nekev, then the halacha, it doesn't have a din of a nekev. Not only that, even if you're able to see the nekev by holding it up to the sun, and you're able to see that there's small holes in it, that itself is a machlokas taz and magen avram, whether that has a din of a nekev. Meaning, even if it is visible to the human eye, but it's visible to the human eye only with the aid of the sun. This could be a chumrah also. The Bir Halacha writes in Siman Lamed Beis that if you have nifsika osachas, if in your tefillin there's a letter that, or in the Sefer Torah, there's a letter that is split with such a tiny, tiny split that it's not nikar la'ayin, but you hold a magnifying glass to see that it is split. So even if there was a small nekev that the diyo is overis alav, it's going to be kosher. So certainly when the klaf is shalem and you're missing a little bit of the ink of the tzura sa'os, but you can't see it directly, so that would be kosher. So great, so that's a nice kula. Comes along the Chabina Rav in the Doviv Mesharim, and he was asked about a Sefer Torah that has a negia in the osios that looks like they're touching each other, but you hold a magnifying glass to it, and you see that there's a mashahu of space in between it. So if there's a negiah, then it's going to be puzzle, and it's in Shem Hashem, where there are problems in just scratching it out. So you can't just erase the whole. So if there's a negiah, you're going to have a real problem. So if you're going to say that it all depends on what the eye can see, well, what the eye can see, this is puzzle. But if you're going to say, no, we have to look at what the reality on a microscopic level or on a magnified level is, well, then it would be kosher. So it could be that this is both a kula and a chumra to say that you could ignore certain holes or you can ignore certain very small things. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan now challenges Reish Lakish. Esei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish that Arshi Yishlov Kazayis Basar. If you have a skin that has a Kazayis Basar, a nevela that has a Basar nevela attached to some R, Hanogea Bitsi Vayotim Menu. If you touch a strand of flesh that comes out of it, Umisa'arashe Ubisa'arashe Kenegdo, or you touch a little bit of the hair that's connected that Basar, Tame. So it's you become Tame. My love, Mishum Shomer, isn't it because the hair is functioning as a Shomer, and that's why it's able to transmit Tuma? And you, Reish Lakish, said that hair is not a Shomer, because it's Shomer al Gabe Shomer. So lo, Mishum Yad, Reish Lakish will say, it's not on account of Shomer, it's not a Shomer, it's Mishum Yad, that hair is a Yad. So asks the Gemara, what do you mean, Yad? Nima Achas Lamai Chazya. What could Nima Achas do? What could a single strand of hair do as far as Yad is concerned? Oh, Kedam Rabbi La, like Rabbi La taught, Bimloi, Shabbein Amloi, Machinami, Benima, Shabbein Animin, that ain't a Chinami. One strand of hair cannot function as a Yad, but multiple strands of hair altogether can function as a Yad. Vehechid, Rabbi La, where did Rabbi La say his din? Ahoditnan, on the following Mishnah, Mesechus Uktin, Hamloi, Shabbishibolin, if you have the Meloi, that these strands that are attached to the Shibolas, so Metamin, it's able to be, if the Shibolas was Tame, it's able to transmit Tumma to other things, Umitamin, and it's able to become Tame when Tame things touch that part of the Shibolas, but Vein Mitzarif, it's not Mitzarif to the Shir of Tumas Ochon for the Shibolas, because it's not actually Ochel, it's only considered, it's not a Shomer to the Pri, it's only considered a Yad to the Ochel. So Meloi Lamai Chazia, but what do you mean? Why is it a Yad? How does it help it function? How do you can't move around the Shibolas by picking up one single strand. So Rabbi Loi, that's what Rabbi Loi said, B'malai, Shabena Meloi, as we said, that there's a difference between a single strand and a whole bunch of them together, where they are able to function together. Okay, Vaharotav. We then said in the Mishnah, the second word of the parak was veharotav, that not only is the R, but the rotav is also mitztaref together with the basar. So my rotav, what exactly is rotav? Amarava shumna, it's the fat that comes to the surface of the sauce. So Amalei Abayi says to Rava, if Rotav is the Shuman, so who Atzmei Tami to Masochlin? It itself is part of the food. So it itself is a food. Of course it's Mitami to Masochlin. It's Mitztarif with the Basar for the Shear of Tumas Ochel. That makes it sound like, yeah, it's not food, but when it's connected with food, it becomes like it's part of the food. This is perfectly edible food. What are you talking about? So Ella Chelev de Karish. No, we must be talking about the fatty part of the meat that congeals, where no one would eat it on its own. And therefore, it itself is not food. It's only when it's together with the basar that you would eat it together with the basar, and therefore it becomes measured together with the basar. So my area, karish, why do you have to say that it congeals? Kilo karish nami. Even if it's not congealed, it would be mitzari for the ochel. Dam reish lakish, tzir shal gabe hayarek. Reish lakish says if you have the liquid that comes to the top of the sauce, mitztarif lekosevus biyom kippurim, it's mitztarif together, that's on top of the vegetable, it's mitztarif with the vegetable on Yom Kippur for the shir kosevus of achila on Yom Kippur, meaning if on Yom Kippur a person is only chayiv kares for eating on Yom Kippur if they eat a shir of a kosevus hagasa. Less than, it's unlike other isuri achila, because there is no isra achila biyom Kippur, it's a mitzvah's inui on Yom Kippur, so the definition of how much you have to eat in order to not be be'inui anymore is different than the definition of achila in Kol HaTorah Kula. So the shir is a koseves agasa. So that seer, together with the ochel, is mitztarif to the shir of koseves. So who had it over here? Even if the rotav is not hikrish, even if it did not congeal, it should be considered part of the ochel to be mitztarif for the basar. So says Gemara, no, the gedarim of Yom Kippur are different than the gedarim of Tumas Ochlin. Hasha mishum yituve daita. When it comes to Yom Kippur, the reason for the Isra of Kares, for the Chiv of Kares on the Isra Achilushtia, is because of Yituve Daita, that it keeps a person out of a state of Inui, out of a state of hunger and thirst, And it's not because it's considered an ochel. Even if it wasn't considered an ochel, since it's yituve daita, it accomplishes that sense of yishuv hadas on Yom Kippur. It is a violation of the Yisr. The Torah says, "Ki kol nefesh shelo suune be'etzem yom hazeh v'nichrusamei ameha." Not kol nefesh ochel. Anyone who's lo suune is in violation of a chiyuv kares. So bekoldu humiat v'daita. So with any item, koldu doesn't mean a shear over here. The shear is a large shear, it's ksev zagasa, but it means it doesn't matter whether it's liquid or solid, meaning even a liquid, the liquid parts will contribute to the yituve daita. It will contribute to the satiation that a person is not hungry. So hacha mishum mitzrufehu, but when it comes to tumas ochlin, it's all about being mitzarif to ochel for the shear of tumas ochlin. Well, e hikrish mitzarif, e lo hikrish lo mitzarif. So if it's congealed, it's an ochel, and therefore it's mitzarif. But if it's liquefied, then it's not an ochel, and therefore it's not mitzarif. So that's the because that, when it comes to tumas ochlin, for an ochel the shear is a kapetza, for a mashka the shear is a revis. It's a different shear. So when that's the klal in shiurim, that whenever you have two items that have different shiurim, then they can never be mitzarif with one another. So mashka is berevis and ochel is bikabetza. So they have nothing to do with each other, and that's why when it comes to mesochlin, it's only the solidified version that's going to be mitzarif to the shear of tumas ochlin. Veha kippa, we then said kippa together with basar is also mitzarif. So my kippa, what is the kippa? We know what the or is, we know what the rotav is. What is the kippa? So amaraba pirma, it's the small pieces of meat that get on the, you know, on the bottom of the pot, that kind of gets stuck to the bottom of the pot. So I'm like Abaya says, well, if that's the case, who asked me yitami tumas ochlin? That's food, it's meat. So that's not something that, even though it's not edible, but when it's together with food, it will be mitzarif. No, it is food. Elamar of Papa Tavlin. It means the spices. No one would ever eat the spices on their own, but the spices together with the food get eaten. So apparently, it could be mitzarif for that reason. So now the Gemara is gonna go into the main topic of today's daf, which is liquids that either liquefied versions or liquids that come from all different types of food, and when it has the din of the food, when it doesn't have a din of the food, and what the source is in each case. So Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah, Maseches Menachos, Hikpa es Hadam va'achalo. If a person congeals the dam and then eats it, Oshi Himcha es Hachelev v'gumao, or he liquefies Chelev and he drinks it, so Chayiv. You Chayiv Karis v'achilas dam, you Chayiv Karis v'achilas Chelev, in both of those cases. So it says, well, Bishlam Hikpa es Hadam va'achalo. I understand very well that you congeal the dam and eat it, by congealing it, you've been machshiv it even in such a state, and therefore it's a violation of the yisur of achilas dam. Meaning, why does Gemara have to say that you were machshiv it? Because the derech of achilas dam is normally b'shtia. So one might have argued that you'd be patur because the Torah only asks it kederech priyasa, the way it naturally appears. But it's only because you were machshiv it in this way that, as the Rashba explains, that it's considered to be derech achila. But if you liquefied the chelev and you swallowed it, the Torah says by the Yisra of chelev, kol chelev shor v'kesav eiz lo tochelu. It's an Yisra achila. V'halav achilahi. Drinking is not eating. So how can you say that that is a violation of achila? So Amrei Shlakish, Amar Kra, nefesh l'rabel sasashosa. That the Pasuk says that menichusa hanefesh ocheles me'ameha, and the word nefesh comes to include even someone who drinks chelev is also going to be chayiv, because nefesh is a lashon of hana'a that a person gets. So the Torah is including another way of getting hana'a from the item. So it's not only achila, but shtia of the item is also going to be included. So now that's when it comes to the yisra of achilas chelev. So now the Gemara brings another brisa when it comes to the of achilas chametz, where shtia is going to be like achila, even though the Torah only says achila. Tanya nami gabi chametz ke agavna. We have a similar brisa when it comes to chametz, that himchahu ugema'o, that if you liquefy your chametz and you drink it, im chametzu anushkare. So if it's chametz that's liquefied, you're chayiv kareis for drinking it. V'matzi, and if you liquefy your matzah in some way, then eino d'myosav yidei chavas v'pesach. That is not a mitzvah of achilas matzah. So when it comes to achila matzah, it's not achila if you drink your matzah. When it comes to achilas chametz, it is achila if you drink your chametz. Well, bishlam matzah and yosef chavasim pesach. I understand very well why you're not going to be yosef mitzvah matzah if you drink your matzah. Lechemoni, Amar Rachmana. The Torah says that matzah is lechemoni. Vay lav lechemu. This isn't lechem. It's not called lechem if it's a beverage. Ela im chametzu. But if it's chametz, anush kares achilas ksiv be. Why should you be chayiv kares for drinking chametz? The Torah says lo socha lo lav chametz. And this is not achila. So Amar Eish Lakish, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says nefesh l'rabel sesashosa. That the pasuk says v'nichrusa hanefesh hahimi Yisrael. So by chametz as well, just like by chaylev, the word nefesh comes to tell me another type of hanah, another type of way of benefiting from it, namely shosa. V'tanya nami gabei nevelas of tar ki agavna. And we have something similar when it comes to nevelas of tar, that drinking it in liquid form is the equivalent of eating. Himchahu ba'or tame, that if you liquefied the kazayis of a nevelas of tahar in a fire and then you drank it, you're going to be tame. Bechama tahar. But if you liquefied it in the sun and then drank the nevelas of tahar, of tame, rather than the nevelas of tahar, then you're going to be tahar. It's not going to be metame you. Va'avinun ba'achilak sivbe. So we ask, why if you liquefy it in a fire and you drink it, is it metame you? The pasuk says nevelu trefa lo yochal litomaba, that only achila will be metame you. So Amar Eish Lakish, Amar Kra, because the pasuk again says over there nefesh l'rabu says hashosa, and over there also when he uses the term nefesh, it comes to include another way of benefiting and enjoying it, which is through drinking. Say iachi b'chavenami. Well, if drinking it is considered to be eating in the veil of tahar, then why if you liquefied it in the sun is it not metame you? Well, b'chamis ruchim israch, because when you liquefy it in the sun, it spoils, and then it's not ro'i l'achila, so mela, it's not going to be included. Okay, but what we just said is that there are three separate places in the Torah, by chelev, by chametz, and by nevela, where the Torah has an extra word, nefesh, to teach me that not even though we use the term achila, that even if you drink it in liquid form, it still is a violation of the iser. So tzrichi, I need all three of those cases. Why not just say one of those cases, and I'll see that that achila includes the shtia as well. If it only would have said chelev, I can't derive chametz from chelev, because chelev was never ra'oi to eat. Chametz, day before Pesach, was ra'oi to eat, and therefore chelev has a chumrah that chametz doesn't have. So if it only said about chelev that were machmir, that even shtia is included in achila, I would not have said that liquefied chametz is a violation. Chametz has certain kulas. Nevelu asimine. I also would not have been able to derive nevela from chelev shekein anush kares, because if chelev is more chumra than nevela, you eat chelev, you chayiv kares. So that's why a liquefied version is going to be included in the Yisra as well, because it has certain chumras. Nevela, there's no chayiv kares. V'ikas rachman chametz. And if it only would have told me that liquefied chametz is included in the Yisr, chelev lo asimine, I would not be able to derive chelev from chametz, shekein lo hutar michlalo, because chametz is never mutter on Pesach. But chelev, we do find that there's a heter to the Yisr of chelev. So in that sense, chametz is more chomer than chelev. We'll get back to what that heter is. Unevela lo asimine, I would not be able to derive nevela from chametz, because shekein anush kares, because chametz is an onush of kares, and nevela is not. So chametz has that chumrah. Okay, let's try the third one then. Vikas Rachmana bin nevela. Why not just write nevela? That by nevela, a liquefied version is included in the yisur. Because hanach l'asimina, I could not derive chelev and chametz from nevela shekein metama, because nevela is metame a person. Chelev and chametz are not metame a person. So nevela has its own chumrah that chelev and chametz do not have, and therefore no single one of these three items, nevela and chelev and chametz, can be used as a source to tell me that liquefied versions of things are always necessarily going to be considered a violation of ochel. So it says, okay, no single one, but did you have to write it by all three? You have to have that extra word nefesh by all three? Chadmi chadi lo asya. Maybe you can't learn one from one, but tesi chadmi tarti. Let the Torah write two of them and not write the third nefesh, and then I'd be able to learn. So hey, tesi. Okay, so which one do you want to skip? Which one would you like the Torah not to have written? We'll see. It still doesn't work. Lo lichtav rachmana bin nevela v'tesi mehanach. You want the Torah not to say by nevela and say it by chelev and chametz, and I'll learn that if by chelev and chametz which are isuri achila. And yet, in the liquefied version, it's still considered a violation. The nevela, likewise, well, malahanach by chilev and chametz shekein anush kares. They have a chumrah that nevela doesn't have. That both of them are chiv kares, where nevela is not. Okay, let's try another one. Lo lichtav rachmanu b'chametz. Let's skip chametz. Don't write it by chametz v'teisa mehanach and learn it from chilev and nevela. No, because malahanach chilev and nevela have something in common that's a chumrah. Shekein lo aislen shasa kosher. Chilev and nevela were never kosher. Chametz was kosher right before Pesach. Lo lichtav rachmanu b'chilev v'teisa mehanach. So let it not write it by chilev, and I'll derive from the other two. Well, malahanach shekein lo hutru michlalan. Well, if it doesn't say it by chilev, and it only says it by chametz and nevela have something in common, that there's never a heter to chametz, there's never a heter to nevela. Tomer b'chilev, but when it comes to chilev, shehutar miklalo, that chilev has a heter. Umaynihu, what is the chilev that the Gemara says that's hutar miklalo, the isur that somehow is hutar miklalo? We keep referring to this, that the unique characteristic of chilev is that it's hutar miklalo, and that makes it a kula. So where do we find that chilev is ever mutter? So ilay mechilev behema legavoa. Maybe you'll say it's the chilev of a carbon that's brought on the mizbeach, that you're makter on the mizbeach. So that's a heter for chilev, that achilas mizbeach happens on chilev. Well, nevela nami ishtarai malika self legavoa. No, but then nevela is also uter michlalo, because the nevela also goes on the mizbeach every time you do malika on an oaf. It's not a shchita, it's a malika, and therefore it's a nevela that you're putting on the mizbeach. Ve'ela chilev chayel lehedyot. No, when we say the chilev as a heter, it means the chilev of a chayav, not a behema, but of a chaya, and even for a regular person is allowed to eat that chilev. Chilev of a chaya is not aser. So it says, well, nevela is also mutter for a hedyot sometimes. Nevela nami shtray malika chatasof lekohanim. That when you do malika on a chatasof, a kohen is allowed to eat that chatasof. So you see that nevela also has a hutar mechlalo. So what is it about chilev that's hutar mechlalo? It's not true about nevela. So the olam chilev chaya lehedyot. It is the chilev chaya that a hedyot's allowed to eat. To do kashlach kohanim, you ask, but kohanim are also allowed to eat nevela in certain cases, in case of a malika of a chatasof. Kohanim are taking their chelek from the Ribbono Shalom's table, and therefore it's not considered hedyot. We never find that a regular person is allowed to eat nevela. There's never such a heter that a regular hedyot is allowed to eat nevela. When you're invited to the Ribbono Shalom's table, so then a kohen is allowed to eat nevela. That's not called hutar miklalo. So now the Gemara asks, why does the Torah need to tell me by shrotzim that if they are liquefied, they have a din of an oath? Why can't I learn the din of shratzim from chelev, chametz, and nevela? Now that I know that I need chelev, chametz, and nevela, the Torah has told me the chiddush in these three places, why can't I use that to teach other places? V'ad, the tanya, that which we say with regard to tumah shratzim, hatameim, lesser tziran, verotvan, v'kipa shalahen, lamali, why does the Torah have to tell me that if shratzim are liquefied, that they're also ligmar mehani, shouldn't I be able to learn from a binyanav, from chelev, chametz, and nevela? So says Mar Tzrichi, the Torah has to tell me by shratzim as well. Deal. Had the Torah not told me by shratzim, then the din of a liquefied sheretz can only be as chamor as the din of chelev, chametz, and nevela. Well, ma hasa madika kezayis, chelev, chametz, and nevela, the shear is kezayis. Sa'av hachanami adika kezayis. So by a liquefied shratzim, the shear should likewise be a kezayis. But that's not true. The shear of shratzim is bika adasha. It's even way smaller than a kezayis. So the rule of daya would not allow me to learn the full extent of the yisur of shratzim. So shratzim, why doesn't the Torah just say it by shratzim? That if a liquefied sheretz, which is a shear, which is a tiny shear, nevertheless is included in the yisur achila, then for sure chelev and chametz and nevela would be so. Because we could ask mal shratzim shekin tumasim b'mashu, that shratzim are nisur b'mashu and nisur b'kadasha, which is a small shear. So since we find that there's a chumrah by shratzim, so maybe that's why we're machmir on liquefied shratzim. But maybe when it comes to chametz and nevela and chelev, there's no such chumrah of bika adasha, and therefore maybe we should be makel on them. So that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to say it. What about other isurim where where liquid is like the original iser. Va'aditanya hatevel perus they haven't taken trumas ma'isus from va'achadosh and the new grain before the bringing of the korban omer. Omer va'hegdish and perus hegdish that produce juice. Va'shvius perus shvius va'kalayim or kilei akerem that you're able to juice. Kulan mashkan yotzim and kamosan. All of them, the liquids that come from them, have the din of the original iser. Minolan. How do I know those dinim? So v'chitem elugmer mehanach. Maybe you'll tell me. Well, I'll derive it from a binyana, from chelev and chametz and nevela. That by all of those cases, that if it liquefies, it has the din of an ochel. So maybe all the other isurim that we just mentioned should have a liquefied version, should have a din of an ochel as well. So no, malahanach, chelev, chametz, and nevela, shekein isra b'me'elav havu. Those are things that come on their own. Min hashamayim. You didn't do anything to generate that iser, to give a chalos shame to that iser. It wasn't something a human being had done. So we won't necessarily apply to things that a human being does. So says the Gemara, Teina chechad iser b'me'elav. So some of the things on our list are an iser b'me'elav. Tevel, chadash, shvius, klayim. That happens on its own. That happens b'dei shemayim. But echad alav iser b'me'elav. But those things, hegdish is something you have to be makdish something. So minalan, how do I know that that the mashka that's yotimem is going to also have a din of the ochel itself? So says Gemara, Karminan mi bikurim. We derive that from bikurim because the din by bikurim is that a mashka that comes from bikurim is like the bikurim. Ubikurim gufayim minalan. Who told you that? That's shuba bikurim. That bikurim juice is bikurim. The Tani Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi taught him Maseches Arachin that the Torah says by bikurim. This week's parsha says a good daf yomi coincidence of Shabbos of bikurim that pri. It says that pri atamevi atamevi mashke hevi anovim udrachan minayin that it's you're supposed to bring the pri, you're not supposed to bring the juice. If you bring grapes to the azara for the bikurim and then you squeeze them, how do I know that you yotze yichiv bikurim tamalom or tavi? The pasuk says tavi me'artzecha. So it's an extra word to tell me that that after you bring them to the azara, even if you squeeze them afterwards, they still have kedushas bikurim, and therefore you can have all the dinim of bikurim. You're going to be chayv misa v'chomesh them. So ikal mifrach mal bikurim shekin tun kriya. Well, one might say bikurim have an extra chumra because you have to read the whole parsha v'rami oviravi v'hanacha, and you have to put it on the floor of the azara. So since the Torah has certain chumras by bikurim, so it makes sense that we'll also have the chumra that the mashka yotze mehem is kamoso. But maybe by other things it's not so. Ela gomer mitruma. So rather we learn the din of hegdish that the mashka yotze mehem is like it from truma. That truma juice is like truma. Okay, truma gufa minolan. How do you know that truma juice has a din of truma? Deiskos bikurim, because we link truma to bikurim. Damar mar, because we learned in Meseches Mi'ila that the Torah, when it talks about eating ma'aser sheni and kachim, it says losucha lechol b'sharach ma'aser dagan chlitzrosh kvitzrach v'choros b'karcha v'tzoncha v'kol nidrach hashitidor unidvosecha utrumas yodecha. Utrumas yodecha. What's that? Elu bikurim. That's a reference to bikurim. So you see that there's a link between truma and bikurim. So if bikurim juice is bikurim, truma juice is truma. So it says Gemara, but you can't use truma as the source because ma'ala truma shekin chayav nala misa v'chomesh. Truma has its own chumra that you chayav misa v'chomesh if you eat it. Ela gomer mitravayu, if you're a zar that eats it. Ela gomer mitravayu mitruma ubikurim. So rather, I learned the din of mashke of hegdish being like hegdish from the combination of truma and bikurim, that both truma and bikurim have that din that the mashka yotze mehem is like them. Well, malu truma bikurim shekein chayav nalein misa. If you eat them b'mezid, you chayav misa for both truma and bikurim and v'chomesh. And if you eat it b'shogeg, you're chayav chomesh. Not true when it comes to hegdish. So we're still stuck. How do I know that hegdish juice is like hegdish? Ela astu mitruma v'chad mehanach o mibikurim v'chad mehanach. So what we have to say is we derive the din of hegdish juice from the combination of truma and either chametz or nevela, or bikurim and either chametz or nevela. Because what are you going to say? You're going to say that malat truma that yichayv lo misa v'chomesh mashen kein b'hegdish. Yeah, nevela tochiach. There's no misa v'chomesh by nevela. And you say, oh, but Manul Vela, that it's an Isra Ba Me'elav, Mashen Ken Behagdish, Truma Tochiach. It's not an Isra Ba Me'elav. Truma is something that is an Isra that's generated by a person, being Kari Shem Truma. So it says, Gemara V'had Tanan, that which the Mishnah says, Dvash Tamarim, V'yein Tapuchim, V'yein Sidvanios. What if you have beverages that come from other fruits, not Zaysim Vanavim? V'sharmi Neperushal Truma, Rabbi Lazar Mechayev Karen V'chomish. Rabbi Lazar says, it does have a din of Truma, and if a non Kohen drinks it, Bishogeg Yischayev Chomesh, he's chayv to pay back plus the chomesh. Rabbi Shua poter. Rabbi Shua says you don't have to pay the extra chomesh because it does not have kedushas truma. So b'may pligi, what are Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua arguing about? We already said that we learned from truma. We learned the din of truma from bikurim. That just like bikurim juice is bikurim, truma juice is truma. So why should truma juice not be truma according to Rabbi Shua? So says Mar b'don minav umina ubidom minav ukibasu kemifligi. They're arguing about when you learn a from B, what's the methodology of the learning? So Rabbi Lazar says, "Don mina mina." Rabbi Lazar says, "You take all of the dinim, lock, stock, and barrel." So ma bikurim mashkan yotzei men kamosan af truma nami mashkan yotzei men kamosan. The fundamental din we're learning is that the juice counts as it, but umina, and we take all of the dinim of bikurim. That ma bikurim afilu shar minin. That just like bikurim includes things that are not zaysim vanavim, so af truma nami afilu shar minin. So too truma juice includes even things that are not zaysim vanavim. Whereas Rabbi Shua yes, the fundamental din we learned that the mashke is like it, but vuki basra ma mashkin dekachim truma tirosh viyitzar in midi achrin lo. Just like initially to be mafresh truma, the only liquid you're mafresh truma on is wine and oil. Af mashkin ayotzim and kamosan tirosh viyitzar in midi achrin lo. So too, the status of truma only extends to juices of grapes and olives, but not other payrolls. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with the Hadithran. Have a great day and a good Shabbos, everybody.